You are listening to the podcast of Richland Hills Baptist Church. We are located in Richland Hills, Texas. Our desire here is to believe, live, and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. As you're listening to our podcast today, if you have any questions, you can find us on the web at richlandhillsbc.com. God bless you. All right, you can open your Bible this morning to the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8, and we'll be looking at verses 23 through 27, Matthew 8, 23 through 27. If you need a Bible, there's one in the pew in front of you, and as always, we have Bibles out there for free. If you need one, we'd love for you to not leave without a Bible. Last Sunday, we had a opportunity after church, our family, we got to go to a baseball game, and we love baseball. Yeah, there you go. We went to see the Rangers, but more than that, we went to see the Braves, the Atlanta Braves. So, and it was not a good game for Atlanta Braves fan. But we had fun, right? We had a good time. We like the Rangers. They're number two for us, but it was fun, right? It was a good time. We enjoyed it. Baseball's fun. But something they do on Sundays, not every Sunday, I guess, but throughout the year, they, at the end of the game, all the kids under a certain age, they can go run on the field. They can actually run the bases after the game, right? Right when the field is cleared with the players, the kids can run the bases. That was neat. So we go down about the eighth inning, the bottom of the eighth, I guess, and you line up. I mean, there's lots of people, and you're lined up. You go to section 125, and you go down into the belly of the stadium, right? There are hundreds of people. And as you're walking through, though, you're in places that you're normally not allowed to be, right? You're not allowed to be here, but you have access. You see signs that say, authorized personnel only, violators will be prosecuted, and you just pass right by it. It's great. And as you're walking, though, as you go into the stadium, right, there's something you see at a lot of places, not just stadiums, but any important place. You'll see on doors, right, you'll see the little card reader. You know what I'm talking about? And you have the little badge reader, right? And people go in, they badge in, they walk in. It's great. And it's great when you can just walk in with people, right? But as I was thinking about that, right, a badge reader, when you get in, it speaks to who that person is, right? They have access because of their position, their role, who they are. And so if a high-up person with the Rangers, they badge in, they get in, things are great. But they can't then transfer that to some other place, right? Like, they can't go to some random office building and scan in just because they can scan in here, right? They can't go scan in at a hospital when they're about to do surgery. They can't say, hey, I work for so-and-so. Big deal, right? You can't badge in here. It speaks to their authority, who they are, their role. And again, it's not cross. You can't go different places and badge in because you have authority in one place. It's their identity. Who are they? And this morning, I want us to speak about authority, the authority of Christ, the one person in all of humanity who has authority over everything. If you will, if you allow me to use this illustration even further, Jesus has the badge of all badges. He can get in and do all things. And so this morning, I want us to see in Matthew chapter 8. And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves, but he was asleep. And they went and woke, saying, save us, Lord, we are perishing. And he said to them, why are you afraid, O you of little faith? Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, what sort of man is this that even winds and the seas obey him. Father, may you bless the reading and preaching of your word. May it speak to our hearts and our minds. May it speak to where we are in our lives today. Help us to understand more fully. In Jesus' name, amen. The last few weeks, we've been looking at a series called Sea Stories. Times in the Bible that happen on the sea, on the open waters. And we see different things about the character and nature of God. A few weeks ago, we looked at Moses parting the Red Sea. Not him, right? God parting the Red Sea, but using Moses as his instrument. And we see the Israelites, they're passing through the Red Sea from certain death to victory. And we see that oftentimes God uses the sea to bring victory, right? Just as he did for them. And then last week we looked at the account of Jonah. Jonah, the prophet of God who was running away from his calling, running away from what God had called him to do, and God brought a storm. But this storm was meant not for the victory of the Israelites. This storm was meant to, again, bring chastisement on Jonah, to rebuke him, if you will, to get him back on the path of following God's will. And we saw that sometimes God allows things in our lives to bring us back into his will. God allows us to walk through difficulties and storms if it means that we will come back to him. And this morning, I want us to see that in the storm, in the sea, we experience the authority of Jesus Christ. We experience him anew. We find ourselves in the fresh water of the Sea of Galilee, a place that we know often in the New Testament. We see it. We see the ministry of Jesus all around this sea. It was an important place for fishing. There were many fishing boats out there. It was a place that would have been tried and true for all of these disciples and people that are going on the boats. As I was researching this, I saw a thread online of people that are talking about different things. And, you know, someone came up. It was sort of this atheistic group, I guess. They see, the Bible isn't real because the Sea of Galilee, it doesn't really, it's just a calm place. It doesn't have storms like it talks about in the Bible. See, the Bible must be fake because the Sea of Galilee isn't like that. They don't have big storms. Well, it doesn't take too much to find out that's not true. In 2023, they had a really, really terrible storm on the sea with winds that could go, I believe, upwards to 80 miles per hour, sustained 50 miles per hour, which is pretty strong on the seas, right? With gusts that could get much higher, destruction. That was two years ago, and the years before. And so actually, it's very noted that the Sea of Galilee, not always, can become a very dangerous sea. Big waves, storms, destruction. And these disciples, they're out on the boat, and again, they are fishermen by trade, many of them. They know the seas, they know the water, they know how things ought to go. But again, as we've talked about in the first century, or even in the Bible times further, the sea was a dangerous place. They were afraid. While yes, they were fishermen, there was always fear about the water. But they knew what to do. So they're out there. They had been with Jesus, and he was about to cross over to the other side of the sea. And when he gets over there, it's that famous account we talked about not long ago, when Jesus healed the demon-possessed man. But as he's going, or just as he leaves, he has done healings. Jesus had not long before given the famous Sermon on the Mount, healed many people, and then he goes across. As he gets in the boat, again, I'm sure the disciples are working, doing all the things they need to do, and Jesus takes a nap. Now, you know what? Sometimes taking a nap is very spiritual. So everybody go take a nap. Not now, after church. Jesus took a nap. He rest, right? He had done all sorts of stuff. It tells you the humanity of Jesus. He's sleeping. He's resting. He's there taking a nap. And I imagine, just in my mind, I can imagine the storm maybe starts to brew a little bit. And the disciples, they change course. They do the things that you need to do. But the storm gets worse and worse. And the next thing you know, there is a wicked, terrible storm. It says the rain, it says that the winds and the waves were coming. It was being swamped. There's a great storm at sea. The waves were starting to come over the sides of the boat. It was being swamped. It was about to sink right in the Sea of Galilee. And listen, it's big enough to where if your boat sinks in the middle of it, you're doomed. And so the boat is about to sink. They're about to die. They know that in this moment that death is imminent. Some of the worst storms come out of the blue like that. As you think about the storms of life, just like this storm, some of the worst storms that we experience come out of the blue, don't they? Life is good. I mean, things are happening. Your job is good. Your family's good. Your church is good. Your health is good. And then sometimes, out of the blue, without any warning, things happen. You lose your job. You get that diagnosis. Something in your family terrible happens. A relationship breaks. Someone you know dies. I mean, these storms, right? Sometimes they brew, sometimes they just come out of nowhere. I mean, that is the human experience that we are living. Life is good, and then bam. And for many people, these storms can actually show us quite a bit about who we are and our fear. These disciples, they're like, hey, we're done. How many times in your life have you cried out to God in the middle of your storm and said, why is this happening to me? God, I'm dead. This is terrible. I don't understand. God, if you don't do something now, I'm a goner. And people, we just express these emotions and these storms come out of nowhere. And it says that Jesus, well, they go to wake him. Save us, Lord. Jesus, what are you doing asleep? Save us. I mean, I don't know. I don't know that Jesus slept through all of what they're doing, but Jesus, wake up. We're going to die. Don't you care? I mean, why aren't you doing anything? And certainly, I believe it's common for many of us to wonder, Jesus, do you care? Do you care what's happening to me? Do you care that I'm going through this difficulty and life is hard? Save me. And Jesus says something that is profound, but also would sting a little bit. Why are you afraid, O you of little faith? Why are you afraid? I mean, you say, well, Jesus, they're afraid because they're about to die. But Jesus goes further. He says, why are you afraid, O you of little faith? These same disciples, they had been with Jesus. They heard his teaching. They heard how astonished people were. They had seen his ministry. They had seen how he had healed just right before. We see that Jesus cleanses a leper. That doesn't happen every day. We see the faith of a centurion believing. We see how Jesus heals many people. I mean, they saw all of this. Like, they saw everything. It's Jesus saying, why are you afraid? You have little faith. I mean, do you believe that I'm going to bring you out here just to die on the Sea of Galilee after doing all these miracles? Why are you afraid? As I was considering this, it came to mind that we have plenty of faith as long as it's happening to somebody else, don't we? As long as it's happening to someone else, we say, hey, just have faith. Believe. And when we see someone going through something, I mean, we feel bad, right? But, hey, God can do it. I'll pray for you. Have faith. I mean, somebody we know is going, I mean, maybe they are going through something horrible. And, I mean, we feel really brokenhearted. It's not that we don't care. But you know what? We go home and we still have to eat dinner and go to work and just life goes on for us, doesn't it? Until it happens to us. Until the storm hits us. Then all those little platitudes of just have faith. Just believe, right? They no longer really mean a whole lot to us. Well, yes, they're right. That's what we should do. But it's real when it happens to us. When my brother passed away in 2020, that was when a storm in my life hit that I had never experienced. The tragic death of someone. 44 years old. It came out of the blue. Wasn't expecting it. No clue that it was going to happen. Woke up. Or go to bed on a Thursday evening. If you remember the timing of our world, we were preparing for COVID. That Sunday was going to be the very first Sunday that we were going to stream our services. The world was in turmoil, but wasn't prepared for this. Friday morning, get a phone call at 5 or 6 in the morning that changes your life forever. A tragic death. No means to know that it ever could have happened. And it was there the storm hit home. Certainly as a pastor, I had spoken to many people who had loved ones passed away in tragic ways. And you hold their hand and you love them and you pray with them. But then you go home. And for the first time, I was left on the other side. I couldn't just go home. That death lingers. And the only way that I can really describe it, maybe some of you will understand, but my world shrank. Everything got smaller and darker. But then, do you know what happens in those moments? Sometimes the questions begin to swirl in your mind. God, why? I don't understand. How did this happen? Is this real? I'll be honest with you, even as a pastor, these big questions, is this real? I remember thinking that because my brother, whom I loved very much, he had many trials and addictions and things in his life. And this became real to me because I said, you know what? I could have been in Virginia. I could have been there working and doing things. And maybe I could have helped. But here I am in Texas following God. But is it real? Because if it's not real, then did I just waste all my time? And I asked those questions in tears and grief. Do I really believe this? And it was that storm that showed me there were some holes in my faith. I believed well and good when life was good, but now I struggled. Some of you have struggled. Some of you have experienced something just like that or even worse. And you know, people aren't always thoughtful when you're going through grief. they'll say things that just probably they shouldn't say, right? I remember having people say to me, well, you know, it's not as bad as losing a child or a mother or a parent. And while maybe, yes, I'd probably understand that, still somebody you love dearly. And we don't compare grief in that way, or we shouldn't. Loss is loss. But it was there that you see when life happens, what do you believe? And y'all have walked through it. You've walked through different types of grief. You've walked through challenges that we just cannot understand. There's story after story in this place. And many of you have asked these same questions. Is this real? I mean, do I really believe this? Do I have faith? It's exactly what the disciples were going through. I mean, think about it. They were with the Master. Like, they knew. They saw it with their own eyes. I mean, sometimes, and I've said it and you've said it, many of us, man, if I could have just been there with the disciples and just saw all these miracles, it'd be much easier to believe. I mean, have you heard somebody say that? If I could just see it with my eyes, then I'd believe. No, you wouldn't. These disciples, I mean, they saw it. People after people in the Bible, they saw it. Guess what? It's not about what we see. It's about what we believe. I mean, Jesus even speaks to that. You see and believe. Blessed are those who don't see and they still believe. And Jesus says, oh, you of little faith. And then he does something that only Jesus can do. He rebukes the storm. He rebukes the storm. He rises up, he gets up, and he says, stop, and it stops. I mean, it didn't just kind of trickle and die off. It wasn't some sort of hours that it had to get lower and lower. Jesus immediately spoke, and it was calm. Like, that doesn't happen. And so the disciples, they see this happening. They see that it's miraculous. This is not ordinary. It's not explainable, some sort of weather pattern. They know this isn't normal, and they marveled, the Bible said. They were astonished. They were amazed. They look and they say, what sort of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? One of the things in the book of Matthew that you see a lot is the idea of Jesus having authority. You might write that word down, authority. Take some time later, look it up. One of the things that you see in the Gospels, again, especially Matthew, is the disciples showing that Jesus has authority over everything. You see it in the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. And when Jesus finished saying these things, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as the one who had authority, not as one of the scribes. And then we see that Jesus is healing and he has authority over sickness and illness and all the terrible things. He has authority over that. And then we see in the end of Matthew chapter 28, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Jesus has authority over he has authority in his teaching. He has authority in his commandments, his commission. He has authority in his healing. And then here he has authority over nature. He has authority over the natural realm. And again, the disciples, they knew he had authority over healing, but for some reason, this was different. Maybe they had seen other sort of healings as they thought. Maybe, I mean, it was amazing, but it was something about nature, right? There was something about a storm that this doesn't seem possible. And they saw that Jesus had authority over nature. You remember later in the Bible with the fig tree? That's kind of an interesting story. Jesus sees it doesn't have any fruit, right, and curses it. The next day, they see it, and it's dead. And Jesus had authority. Now, obviously, there was a point to that with his teaching, but there was authority. Authority over nature. Then he walks on the water. His authority. The disciples, they saw this authority and they were amazed. Just like the people with the little badge, they're able to walk into this place that says authorized personnel. They just scan the badge, they walk in. Jesus, there's illness somewhere, Jesus scans the badge, he can beat it. Pain, financial difficulties, sickness, swipe. Jesus has authority over all of it. There's nothing in our life that Jesus comes to and says, man, that's a really tough one. I'm not sure what to do. He has authority. And so this morning, the reminder for us is as we walk through our storms, as we go through our storms, as we live through our storms, that Jesus has authority. Nothing is impossible. Now, does that mean that he always takes the storm away? No, sometimes he doesn't. Jonah had to go through the storm. Next week, we're going to look at the Apostle Paul. He has to go through a storm and a shipwreck. So it doesn't mean that Jesus always calms the storm. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't, but Jesus has authority. There's nothing that we face that he can't do something about. And do you know what the answer is? We come with that childlike wonder and faith. That childlike faith that just says, Jesus, I believe. I mean, I'm walking through something right now, Jesus, that I don't think I ever could have walked through, and I'm going through pain I've never experienced, and I'm going through something that I didn't think was possible. Jesus, I believe that you can do something about it. Jesus, I believe that you can work through this. Jesus, my marriage is falling apart, but I have faith. Jesus, I have some sort of broken relationship with a child or grandchild or sibling or a parent, whatever it may be. Jesus, I can't do this. I can't fix it myself. I've tried. I believe. Jesus, I don't have enough money to live on. I don't know how to make it. I've crunched the numbers. They don't work, but I don't know how to do it, but I believe. Have faith. Jesus, I got this really difficult diagnosis. It seems too big. I believe. And that childlike wonder and faith, here's the thing about childlike faith. It's not about the outcome of what happens. It's about the belief that we have. Jesus, I know that you can do all things, and it's at you that I lay this storm. Faith believes even when the world says, that's crazy. Why would you ever believe that? That's ludicrous. That doesn't make sense. But faith says, my God can do all things. I believe. And so this morning, The question is, do you believe? Do you believe specifically that Jesus has authority over all things in your life? Do you believe that Jesus has authority over your situation? Over your health, over your money, over your relationships, over your home, over your job, over this church? I mean, do you believe that Jesus is greater than all these things? Or do you believe that somehow that you are just in charge of figuring it all out to make it work? Because guess what? You're not very good at being in charge. I mean, neither am I, by the way. We can't fix these things, can we? I mean, how many times have you tried to fix a broken relationship? It doesn't work. How many times have you tried to just make things better, right? It doesn't usually work. I mean, the disciples, they probably tried all their sailing tricks that they knew. They probably tried all the things that you're supposed to do in a storm, right? They had a manual, maybe not in paper, but in their mind, right? They knew what to do, but none of it worked. It was too big. Do you believe? And again, I don't ask that as somebody that hasn't walked through the storm. I don't ask that in a trite sort of way, because I understand when we say we believe, that's something big. Do you believe? And this morning, God is reminding us that we can put our faith in the one with all authority. I don't know why things happened in my life the way that they did with my brother, but I've seen God's grace through it all. I've seen how God has used that in my own life for His purposes. God is using things in your life. God is using the storm for you to declare His glory to others. Do you believe? And as I was considering that, I recognize that there may be some people in here that don't believe because they've never really put their faith in Christ. You've never actually made the commitment to even follow Jesus. You know about Him intellectually. You've learned about Him in church or in school, wherever it may be. You know about Jesus, but you've never really trusted Jesus. Here's the issue. You and I, we are broken people. Every single one of us, we are broken. And I don't think any one of you or myself could stand up in all honesty and say, I'm not broken, I'm perfect. Let me try. Is anybody perfect here? Hands? No, right? We know we're all broken. Like, we all have things in our life that just aren't right. We know it. The things that we do and the things that we say, our attitudes. I mean, we know it. And we know that. I mean, even the people that don't believe in God, we understand that, man, there's something not quite right. And there's some, maybe, that you've never put your faith in Christ. And the good news is this, that Jesus Christ, that He lived the perfect life, God in the flesh. He took our sin. He took on Himself our sin, our shame, our punishment, and He took it to the cross. And I don't want to trivialize this in any way, but it just, in my head, it sort of made sense. When you get to heaven, and it won't happen like this, but when you get to heaven and you try to get in, there's a little badge reader. You wave your hand, nothing happens. It's a red light. But the gospel is this, that Jesus Christ, He did all these things for us so that now we have access to God. We have the golden key card. We have that badge that gets in that, guess what? It swipes us in. We can go in. Why? Because Jesus has paid it. And here's the deal. Jesus, he's done that for us. He has the card. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to buy it. We don't have to do all sort of little gimmicks and tricks to get it. Jesus says, here it is. All we have to do is receive it. We just have to receive that gift and we can get to heaven. We can have eternal life. We can have hope and peace and purpose. Access to the Father. Have you believed? Have you taken that gift? Or are you still trying to get in your own way? Because Jesus, if he has authority over the storm, he has authority over sickness, his authority and his teaching and commission. If Jesus has authority over that, it's a reminder he has authority over everything. And you know what he has authority over? Sin and death. He's defeated those things. You don't have to live in your sin anymore. You don't have to live as a dead man or dead woman walking anymore. You don't have to live in your brokenness anymore. He has authority. Do you believe? Let us pray. Father, we're reminded this morning of the authority of Christ. Lord, I'm reminded of who Jesus is. I'm reminded of the authority that your Son has. And Lord, my prayer is this morning, just simply this, God, may you speak in such a way that we hear and we understand and we know where we stand. And Father, I believe that there are people here that are walking through storms and some of them are struggling with belief. And maybe it's not because the storm is really big and really scary. Maybe it's just a storm that's unexpected. Or maybe it's just a storm of doubt. Father, there may be someone here this morning that's struggling with doubt. And they're ashamed of it. I mean, they're ashamed. They can never tell somebody that they're struggling with belief. Like they could never speak to someone and say, man, I'm struggling. And so, Lord, I believe that the enemy, he works in the darkness. He works in our shame. And Lord, letting someone this morning, if they are struggling with their faith, Lord, let us not, as other believers, jump on them and rebuke them and say, what are you doing? Lord, let us rally around one another as we struggle. So if there's one person this morning that's struggling with their belief, their faith, they're looking at the storm and saying, it's too great. Father, this morning, would you grow their faith? It's not something we can manufacture. I know that, Father, so may you do a supernatural work. Father, this morning, may you do a work in each heart. For the broken, may you bring healing. For the doubter, may you bring faith. For the grieving, may you bring peace. For the sick, healing. Father, for the lost, Lord, may you bring, Lord, may you bring that victory. God, would you move? There's someone here this morning that's never trusted your Son. Father, may you move in our hearts. Let this not be just another service, another day, another time. Father, may you do something meaningful in our lives for every single one of us. Do we believe? Let us ask ourselves that this morning. Thank you. Jesus' name. Amen.